When the going gets tough, we long for the good old days. But the track only goes forward. We have no choice but to run. Life, it takes its toll on all of us, especially in times of crisis and upheaval. Emotional and physical suffering plays a key part in developing our character, a lesson learned well by Job. If you're facing today more than you can bear, please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series, God, Why Me?, as he concludes a message on the size of a suffering soul. We've been hearing the story of a woman whose daughter tried to commit suicide.
Also, that experience happened just as they were planning a wedding for one of their daughters. So here's the 15-year-old who tries to commit suicide, and then they have an older daughter who just days later was married. So you have this wedding going on, and you've got all of the concern and the agony that surrounds this tragedy. She says, "During the month of December, I fell into depression. I had been struggling with depression," she says, "before this. Mentally, I was thankful for the many things that God had done, but this did not change my feelings. I could not see the Christian physician that I was supposed to see," and so forth. But then she goes on to say, "I was encouraged by my father," that is her earthly father, a man whom, incidentally, my wife and I know, a good man. "I was encouraged by my dad to affirm to God that I believe he is the blessed controller of my circumstances for my good. I had done this before Thanksgiving and did it repeatedly, and within a number of days, I continue to do it despite my feelings. And God is so good that he turned my emotions around for my family's sake." Now, if you were to meet these people, you would see even in their countenance Christ. I had breakfast on Saturday with a couple who have been through their share of tragedies, with immorality in the family and heartache with children and just a host of things. And then both of them physically going through times of difficulty, a stroke on the part of the man and heart difficulties on the part of the wife. And with tears in their eyes, the only thing that they could talk about is the faithfulness of God and the wonder of his promises to them. Suffering, my friend, purifies faith. It purifies faith. I wish that there would be a way to get at the purification process without suffering. Sometimes it can be done without suffering, but seldom. We have some friends in Canada, bless his heart, who, not a greedy man, very kind and generous man, but he encouraged people to get involved in buying a certain stock on the stock market because this particular commodity was going to go up and up and up and up. And many missionaries even took money out of their banks and they bought some of these stocks that were going to go up and up and up. And you know what they did? They did go up and up and up. But then they began to fall and fall and fall. And people said, well, we know that eventually they're going to go up and up and up. And so it began at 22, went to 44, and then within days was down to 2, which is not a good investment if you're following my story. You know what this man did? He went to the bank and he borrowed money. He sold his home, took all of his money, and used it to pay off every single person whom he encouraged to invest in that particular stock so that every Christian got his money back. Now, what this meant was that this man lost all of his money in the process. But when we were eating together, what was so beautiful is now they're in a small apartment rather than a home because the home had to be sold. He said, you know, we would not have traded this experience for anything. He said, the things that God has taught us through this experience, even though he wasn't legally obligated to sell everything he had, but he felt he had a moral obligation, he said, the things that God has done in our hearts, we cannot even talk about. The wonder of his love, of what happened because of that suffering and the need to get rid of all that we owned. Do you see how God does it? Suffering tests our faith. Suffering strengthens our faith. Another lesson to be thrown in at no extra charge is when people ask your advice as to where to invest their money, be very, very careful. Now, if you come up to me afterwards and say, "Pastor Lutzer, I've got lots of money and I wonder where to invest it," I encourage you to do that, though, because I'll tell you, give it to Moody Church and at least you know it's secure and that you'll meet it again in heaven. So I do sometimes give advice, but I'm very, very careful beyond that. Now, hurrying along, finally, suffering strengthens faith. It strengthens faith. It does not strengthen faith at the time. In fact, you might find that your faith has been totally eroded and exploded. But eventually, it strengthens faith. At the end of the day, you come out stronger. Perhaps not through the process, but when the refining time is over, you are stronger than ever. One of the things I've noticed is that people who have gone through the night and have found God's hand to be with them in the darkness no longer fear the next night when it comes, because they have proven that God is with them. And having walked through one difficult experience and experiencing the blessing of God, when the next difficulty comes, they are able to accept it with greater confidence, because suffering strengthens faith. Jesus in Gethsemane went through a time of deep emotional darkness. You remember he said to the disciples, "My soul is sorrowful even to the point of death." Even to the point of death. Now, that did not mean that he was separated from God. In fact, he said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." God was still his Father. But he knew what he was up against. It was not just Gethsemane. It was the cross that he was facing. And there on the cross, so far as I remember, the only time in all the Bible when Jesus did not call God the Father, he simply called him God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And in the black night of that emotional convulsion that he was going through, he was forsaken by God because the sin of the world was laid upon him, and he became legally guilty of all of the evil things that you and I have done. But the good news is that because Jesus Christ was rejected by God the Father for those moments on the cross, you and I, if we believe in him, will never be rejected or abandoned by God. Never, never, never. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with thee whithersoever thou goest." No matter what happens, no matter what people say, no matter your circumstances, whether those circumstances are those that other people have brought upon your life or whether they are circumstances that you have responsibility for because you have blown it. If you're a child of God, God walks with you through all of your private soliloquies when you agonize, even as Job did. One day Jesus told the disciples, he said, "You know, I want you to get into this boat and go to the other side of the lake, Sea of Galilee." And Jesus, the Bible says, went up into a mountain to pray, and he was there alone. And you know the rest of the story. A huge storm comes up, and this is the worst storm that the disciples have ever encountered. And it's so difficult that they get 4 miles from the shore but can't make it to the other side. And then you know Jesus came to them walking on the water. But here's the question I want to ask you. Christ came at about 4 in the morning. During those hours in the evening and after midnight, going through this whole hassle, could the disciples see Christ? No, not at all. In fact, they never even recognized him when he was walking on the water. They could not see Christ. Christ was up there in the mountain. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ, who is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient, he knew the longitude and the latitude of that little boat. He knew the force of the winds. He knew the height of the waves. He knew every word that was spoken among the disciples during their struggles. He knew those words, even those that did not come out of their mouths. He knew their heart rate. He knew all of the details that attended to them, and he knew the outcome. He knew all that, though they could not see him. And my point today is that in the blackness of depression, when a whole series of bad events come into your life, one after another, after another, after another, and you say, God, I can't take this anymore. I want you to know that at the end of the day, it is much more important that God see us than that we see God. You read the book of Job, chapter after chapter, Job is longing to see God, and he does not see him till the end of the book. But I want you to know that God was with Job there in the ash heap. God knew the extent of the pain that the boils were bringing upon him. God knew the deep grief of Job's wife, who had just experienced the death of her 10 children. God knew all of these circumstances, and he was listening to the conversations. He knew exactly what was happening. And he says to you and to me that when you go through that dark night, it is not so important that you see me, but in the depths of your soul, believe that I see you, and I'm not afraid of that night, and I will guide you through it. Because if you accept Christ as your Savior, you will find that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when I have tried you, you'll come forth as gold, which is so precious to me, I'm willing to turn up the heat so that you go through the process of purification. He is with us in the good times of life. He is with us in the bad times of life. He is with us in the storms of life. In the blackness of your night, God is there. God is there.
Well, my friend, I don't know how I can say it more clearly. This is Pastor Lutzer. And today I speak to those of you who find yourself in despair and in depression. It seems as if you are in a dark tunnel and you cannot see the light of day. And it seems as if everything is going wrong, and in your soul there is a word called hopelessness. God is there with you, my friend. I want to encourage you. Keep going, keep trusting, keep believing. And I hope also that you'll continue to listen to this series on the book of Job, because what we'll discover is that God took Job through his own trial. But as he said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And that's what God is after in your life and in mine. See you next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've just heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding The Size of a Suffering Soul, another message in his series, God, Why Me? Tomorrow, how the coming of Jesus answers the deep questions Job is asking. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This 8-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, Why Me? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Tomorrow, Jesus, Please Answer Job. Tune in for our next Running to Win.